from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Brewers give up another run. Bryce Wilson comes in and gives up a base hit to Nolan Arenado. Now down 3-0 in St. Louis. Not looking good for the Brew Crew in St. Louis. Look at all those empty seats in the outfield. And everywhere.
Behind the plate, too, yeah.
Everywhere there's empty seats. I can't wait to see what the paid attendance is at Busch today. That is awful. Wow. Cardinals fans have officially given up, if there was any doubt prior to this. Joining us now to talk about the green and gold and what the Packers and Ravens practice looked like here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's. He is Paul Bredel of ESPN Lacrosse. Follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Paul, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Sparky. Always happy to talk Packers with you.
All right, so overall, I would say, based on what I've seen on Twitter, actually, you know, because I was not there, it looks like the Packers clearly won this practice, unlike what happened against Denver.
Yeah, I would say so. Offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, really, really impressive performances all around. And being in that locker room after, you could tell that, you know, they came into this week with a different edge to them after how things played out, not just in the preseason game against Denver, but in the joint practice as well. And Jair Alexander talked about, you know, knowing that this is a physical Ravens team that they were going up against that's going to try to bully you, kind of set the tone mentally for the Packers coming into the week, knowing that they needed a bounce back after the performance that they had a week ago. And you could see that on the field. The energy was there. Just the overall performance, so very, very crisp on both sides of the ball, and you can see that in their level of play.
Let's talk about that Packers defensive line. I feel like that's going to be the story from today as far as how much pressure they were able to create throughout the team portion.
Oh, it was incredibly impressive. And last week during the Friday joint practice, you know, it sounded like they were getting maybe a bit fatigued, for lack of a better term, as the practice went on after a strong start, started to dip off as things went on. But this today, exact opposite. As more plays started to happen, this group started to generate more and more consistent pressure. And for me, watching the defense for most of the day, one of the standout players was TJ Slayton. I thought that he was just, from one-on-ones to the team portion, he was absolutely terrific, just generating a strong push. And we all know, you know, the best way, whether it's a run or a pass, to wreck any play for an offense is with quick push up the middle. And he was doing that consistently, but everyone got in on the action. Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, Enang Bari, Van Ness, Preston Smith, everybody was a part of that pressure on Lamar Jackson. And, you know, it wasn't only the defensive front. This front end, the back end of the defense were doing a great job playing together, because there were a number of those pressures that the secondary caused, where the initial push from the defensive front wasn't quite there, but Lamar Jackson just had nowhere to go with the football. And so that gave that defensive front an extra second, an extra 2 seconds to get to him. And, you know, creating the pressure from that point on. So I thought just across the board, the whole defense really performed well in this game. And one of the emphasis Rashawn Gary talked about was the rushing lanes. We all know Lamar Jackson's ability with the ball in his hands. And Gary said after practice that that was an emphasis. And while he has to go back and look at the film to see how they performed in that regard, he thought they were also very disciplined. So it wasn't just getting to the quarterback. It was, you know, staying in your running lanes, maintaining that integrity so Lamar Jackson didn't have those avenues to get out of the pocket. And while scrambling wasn't, you know, a point of emphasis for him because it is a practice here, Rashawn Gary thought that they did a good job of limiting his opportunities potentially as a ball carrier.
Time with Paul Bredel of ESPN Lacrosse. Follow him on Twitter at @Paul_Bredel. He was there today, as he is all the time, as he's the beat writer for ESPN Lacrosse. Let's talk a little bit about the young safeties, the three draft picks. So how did they look today on the field?
They look very good as a whole. Javon Bullard, as has been the case for probably about 2 weeks now, he got the start next to Xavier McKinney. We did not see him playing down in the slot. That was Keyshawn Nixon's role. Over the last week in particular, Bullard's gotten some more opportunities there, but he was the primary starter next to Xavier McKinney. But we also saw Evan Williams continue to get worked in, as has often been the case this summer. He had an interception during the two-minute portion against the Ravens second-team offense to end practice. And I thought J.R. Alexander had a really interesting note when asked about Evan Williams. He talked about how excited he is for him, his ball-hawking ability, which we've all seen, 5 interceptions in training camp. He had the forced fumble in the preseason opener. And Jair compared Evan Williams to Micah Hyde, just how he's always around the football. Doesn't matter what's going on, Evan Williams is just always right there. And we're seeing that for him translate into ball production during these practices. And as we all know, that's an area where this Packers defense has to improve. Just 7 interceptions last season, 2nd fewest in football. And he's helping bring that ball hawking mentality to the defense in that regard. But him and Bullard have both looked very solid, very steady. They continue to rotate them heavily, both getting them opportunities to play with Xavier McKinney, both getting them opportunities to play deep, to play in the box, because that's really going to be the, you know, one of the hallmarks of this safety position. We heard Gutekunst talk about it repeatedly, is interchangeability. Because from Jeff Hafley's perspective, I mean, that adds a layer of unpredictability to the defense, because defenses or the offenses can't decipher, you know, what the play is going to be, where the defenders are going to be, just based on who's on the field or maybe even the initial alignment, because there's so much post-snap movement with the safety position. So they've had a lot thrown at them, but they've been getting these starting reps for this entire time now, going back to OTA's minicamp, and they seem to have acclimated themselves very well.
You know, when we talk about this defense, you and I always revert back to how good is Quay Walker going to be? Will he make an impact? Will he make big plays? Throughout this season, I didn't see a lot of Quay in the tweets that I was looking at today. What did he look like?
Yeah, the linebacker group as a whole, what I will say is they did a terrific job swarming to the football. Because of the play of the secondary, there weren't really any downfield opportunities for Lamar Jackson in the offense. I can think of one, maybe 2 chunk plays in the passing game that the Ravens offense was able to create. So where you really saw linebackers flash was, again, those passes to the flat, the checkdowns, which the Ravens relied upon a lot. You saw McDuffie, you saw Quay Walker swarming to the football, and that's really kind of the closest look that we got of them. In the passing game perspective, they weren't tested all that much. I will say in the run game, and again, the run game without live tackling can be tough to evaluate, but Derrick Henry, I mean, goodness, we all know how difficult he is to bring to the ground. There were a couple chunk runs where he got to the second level, and you know, regardless of who the linebackers are, can cause some havoc for them. So the linebackers, you know, compared to the secondary, compared to the defensive front, you know, didn't pop the same as those two units did, but I also think there necessarily wasn't the opportunity for them to either. They did their job. They were there as the cleanup crew in the run game. They were there as the cleanup crew on those short area passes, taking away some opportunities over the middle. So I would say a solid performance from that group.
Paul, what about the offensive side of the football? Jordan Love, 4 red zone touchdowns, 1 interception, and looked much better than I think he did against the Denver Broncos. And you brought it up earlier. There just seemed to be like, you better be on your P's and Q's today, unlike the last time I saw everybody playing together as a unit. It kind of felt like this was more of a big deal to the Packers than maybe it was to Baltimore.
Yeah, the offense was excellent in this practice, and like we talked about, Dale, the team as a whole came out with the right energy for this game, or for this joint practice, excuse me. I had the right mentality in terms of how they wanted to attack, and one player who's really coming on strong, we saw it today, we saw it Tuesday, is Tucker Kraft at the tight end position. He had a couple big plays on Tuesday during the Packers practice together.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Short area throws that he turned into big completions. We saw that yak ability today on the practice field against the Ravens. Some explosive pass plays from him, and then Jaden Reed as well. You know, admittedly, it was a bit of a quieter start to training camp to him. And again, quieter isn't a negative. Doesn't mean that he was dropping passes or anything like that. But as of late, the last week or so, we've really started to see Jaden Reed pop in the passing game, and we saw that today during this joint practice. But the offense as a whole right now really looks like it's clicking, and it's not just today. They came into this week coming off of what happened in Denver last week during Tuesday's practice. Very good. I was charting the throws during Tuesday, and I had Jordan Love as 14 of 17 during that practice. So they seem to be really firing right now. And contributing to that is the offensive line. You know, we've talked about kind of the ups and downs that unit had early on, but that group in pass protection specifically, they've really been picking up, and they've handled themselves very well, given Jordan Love time. And you know, if Jordan Love is your quarterback, all those pass catchers, and he has time in the pocket, I mean, that's going to be tough for any defense to handle.
The kicking position, everybody wants to talk about. I thought it was very telling yesterday when you take Hale and make him the international designated player, which means nobody can touch him. He doesn't have to waste a roster spot. He's automatically there. That's somebody kind of hovering in the background in case Anders Carlson goes sideways during the season. Carlson had a nice day today.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, the big thing right now is, you know, we see the training camp percentages of Joseph and Carlson. And I think for the most part, they're pretty equal, especially over the large sample size that we've had up to this point. But the big difference is, what direction are these kickers trending? Anders Carlson has been on the upward trend for probably a good 2 weeks now, where Greg Joseph, who to his credit had a solid day today. I think he was 4 or 5 on attempts. But he's been going in the wrong direction. You know, we saw the missed kick against the Denver Broncos in the preseason game, but the practice, you know, before that, he struggled as well. Missed some kicks on Tuesday of this week. So he's going in the wrong direction. And with, you know, the last training camp practice having taken place, only one preseason game left, it just doesn't feel like that runway is there for him anymore to make up ground. Carlson went through his lumps as well during training camp, but that was, you know, if I'm remembering correctly, 3 weeks ago or so now. Like, there was still opportunity for him to get back into the mix, to find that consistency, and to his credit, he has. But with Joseph, that runway just doesn't seem to be there, because we're at the end of this thing, and next Tuesday, decisions have to be made.
Decisions do have to be made. I said earlier in the show that, why not just let Joseph go? I mean, I think Carlson's on this team. He's up, 81% to 78% or something like that, I think is what Andy Herman had it at when I saw it earlier today. If it's obviously Carlson, and I think it was the whole time, unless Joseph did something crazy good compared to Carlson, why not just let Joseph go try and kick for somebody else this weekend and try and catch on?
Yeah, that might be the approach that they take. And I think, obviously, coming off of the up-and-down season that Carlson had as a rookie, like, you needed to bring someone in to try to create that competition, to try to push him. But this was always a battle that he had the advantage in, because if things were close, even if Joseph had the edge percentage-wise, even if things were close, the Packers were always probably going to defer to the younger guy. Because, again, we look at if they go with Joseph this year, if that's how things would have played out, next March, next April, free agency, the draft time, you're probably readdressing the kicker position. Like, Packers fans should want Anders Carlson to be the guy, because he's in his second year. Just like any second-year player, there's that upside, that potential that you're trying to tap into. And if you can find that, if he can find that consistency, you know, you have your kicker for the long haul, and that's what you want. So Carlson, in that regard, I think always had the advantage. The way it was going to be Joseph or someone else was only if things went really south for Carlson, or that Joseph or whoever else was in really took control of that competition. But if things were close, like they have been on the field, I think it was always going to be Carlson for those reasons. You're chasing upside, you're chasing potential, and you hope that he can hone in, because to Carlson's credit, I mean, he has, I think, the right mental makeup to be the kicker. He has that bounce back quality. We've heard Rich Bisaccia and Matt LaFleur talk about that quality that he has since they drafted him. I mean, of the misses he had last year, I believe he never missed twice in a game. He never had back-to-back misses. He was always able to bounce back. And of course, you got to make the kicks at the end of the day. That's the job. That's the name of the game. But there's something to be said for his ability to shake off what just happened and go out there like it's a fresh attempt and knock it through the uprights. And again, that's the quality that he has to hone in on, of course. But I think the fact that he's handled this competition well, that he's trending in the right direction when it's crunch time as far as training camp goes, I think that's a good sign. And again, you hope that he can figure it out, because he could be your answer for the next several years if he can.
I have one last question for you, Paul Breidel. Does the backup quarterback position job come down to whoever does better in this game against the Baltimore Ravens on Saturday, or do you think they already have their mind made up?
That's a great question. I can only go off of what LaFleur's told us. And I asked him before the first preseason game, I said, how do you evaluate someone's performance in, you know, these three games, which obviously mean a lot, compared to the body of work of maybe 16, 17 practices? And he said that it's the totality of it all. And of course, you want to see him perform better in the live action, the live games. But he said it's really the totality of the body of work that these guys have put together. And I'll be honest, from my perspective and just seeing these practices every day, it's a really difficult call to make as far as who's going to be the backup. What I do think both are going to be on the 53-man roster. I think that's my prediction as of now. And the reason that I say that is because, you know, Brian Gutekunst has said he wants to get back to drafting and developing quarterbacks. Well, this is part of the process. When you take Clifford on day three, when you take Michael Pratt on day three, they're going to need more than a year. They're probably going to need more than 2 years to get into, you know, hopefully take those steps that you want to see at the quarterback position. So the Packers know this. We've seen them take this approach with starting quarterbacks, let alone backups. But I think this hurdle that they're going through with Clifford and trying to bring Michael Pratt along as an incoming rookie, learning the playbook, adjusting to the play speed, I mean, that's part of this process that they're going through as a team right now. And so I think that's why both of them end up making the team. Now, as far as who the backup is, that's a great question. I think there's something to be said for Clifford's experience. When you ask LaFleur, Tom Clements, Adam Stanovich about Pratt, there's always this hesitation. And it's not negative. He's doing the right things. You're seeing the plays on the practice field. But the hesitation comes from he's a rookie. And as LaFleur says, it's like drinking through a fire hose trying to learn this playbook. Whereas Clifford, that experience that he has can be valuable. Now, he has to take that experience and turn it into some on-field play, but I think that's the advantage he has. I think the upside Clifford has right now is that experience gap. I think he's closed it, as obviously he's gotten more reps under his belt. And as far as taking care of the ball, he's been much better at it throughout training camp. So if an injury occurs for the long haul, the Packers are going to be in trouble. But if they need someone to step in and halfway through the third quarter and just, all right, let's get through this game, you have to wonder about Pratt, because again, he's taking care of the football. And if it's a close game, that's what you need. Sean Clifford has shown that bounce back big play ability in the past, but there hasn't been enough of that to necessarily counteract the turnovers that he's had up to this point as well.
Paul Bredel. Follow him, ESPN Lacrosse Wisconsin on Twitter. You can also follow him on Twitter at Paul_Bredel. Paul, thanks so much for coming on, man. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Sparky. Take care.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, Paul Bredel, joining us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. Served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM. The Fan. I appreciate him.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.